you. Welcome to Missions Sunday. I want to first of all thank all of you for your faithful participation in supporting our missionaries financially and prayerfully. Every one of those people on the wall back there, when we took them on as a responsibility, we said we will dedicate resources to you, prayer and finances. And you're going to hear our missionaries that are up on the wall and right here in person, and they're going to share with their hearts what God has been doing in their lives and share an important message with you. I first of all want to mention that if you go to get some bouillon, I hope you do, because that'll go to support some people that we're sending. They asked if you could please return these to them, because they're going to have another one in 2 weeks. So if you do take some bouillon, if you can wash that out and bring that back and give that to Lori Meyer, they would appreciate that. The one reason, one of the big reasons that we celebrate and we acknowledge Mission Sunday is the commandment that Jesus gave us, which is to go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That is one of the main reasons, friends, why we exist here. And I was just sharing with somebody before how every single person on the face of the earth, they're looking for Jesus and they don't even know it. They don't even know it. And that's where God wants to use us to be that bridge to help them, lead them to Jesus Christ. Before I introduce our missionaries here, I just want to say that there will be an offering taken after the service for them. And you can make out checks to New Freedom Church. And if you just want to put in the memo, Chuck and Wilma Lormas, you can put that down in there. So anyway, I want to introduce to you our missionaries, Chuck and Wilma Lormas.
Morning. I'd like to start us off with a riddle this morning. The riddle is this: what do you get when you cross a career pastor with a career missionary? Now, I'll let you think about that, and Wilma will give you the answer in a few minutes. I will tell you this as a hint. I was a career pastor. I spent 36 years in different areas of pastoral ministry, and that opened a lot of doors for me. It opened doors to inner-city evangelism in Chicago and East St. Louis, Illinois, and in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It opened doors for me to travel to Bolivia and Peru and share the gospel with short-term missions. It opened the doors in Peru for me to be able to speak to pastors' conferences and to address the national fraternity of pastors on two different occasions. The fact that I was a pastor opened a lot of doors. Okay, while I was on the mission trip that I was, I took a team with me in 2014. My wife of 41 years was with me, as she tended to be pretty much all the time. And during that trip, I was asked to speak at a pastor's conference as part of the overall trip that we were doing. We went to the conference. The first, it was way up in the Andes Mountains. We had to go up 15,000 feet and then back down the other side and to the city of Huancayo. Well, while we were there, while we were on the way, my first wife developed what we thought was altitude sickness. Her and one of the other women on our team became ill. We thought, well, they'll just rest tonight. They'll be better in the morning. So we left them at the hotel. We went. I spoke at the conference, came back to the hotel. They were both sleeping. We figured, okay, everything will be fine in the morning. Well, the morning came. The other lady was fine. My first wife woke up, and she said, I'm dizzy. Could you help me get to the bathroom? I said, okay. So she got up. I was leading her by the hand. Took about 3 steps. She had a massive heart attack, collapsed in my arms, and died. Wow. That caught me by surprise. But how many know that God doesn't get caught by surprise? He knew that was going to happen. Didn't let me in on that. But it happened. And all of a sudden life took a big turn. Well, we know that God gives beauty for ashes. And through the course of time since then, God brought Wilma and I together. We've known each other for more than 20 years. But a week from Tuesday, we will celebrate our 2-year wedding anniversary. So, anyway. So I'll let her share a little more about that, though.
Well, so you're wondering how I got where we are up here. Well, I was married. I had a previous marriage also, and we were missionaries to the country of Madagascar, that island on the right-hand side of Africa. And we were serving there, and in our third term, and my first husband made poor choices, and we were asked to come home from the field. And I remember at that time being a very broken woman and just saying, God, what are you going to do with this mess? How are you going to fix this? And we came back from the field, got my kids settled in, right here in Green Bay, actually, got them settled in school, and I just ended up working as a hospital chaplain at St. Mary's Hospital. And I remember one day walking through the hospital corridor, and my life was a mess. There were no resolved issues. My first husband was continuing in some of those poor choices, and I'm just like, God, what are you going to do? And have you ever been in one of those situations where it's so overwhelming that if you don't laugh, you'll cry? Well, that's how I was. So I was just walking down the corridor, and I just started laughing. I said, God, I don't know what you're going to do with this mess. But I remember God very clearly just said to me, he said, Wilma, if you will bring to me your anger, if you will bring to me your bitterness, if you will bring to me your shame and your pain, if you will bring it to me and lay it at the foot of the cross, he said, I can make it into a beautiful Tiffany lamp. And for you younger people, that would be like a mosaic. I can make it into something beautiful and shine through it brighter than anything you could ever imagine. And I remember thinking, well, God, I don't know how you're going to do that, but all I've got is mess, so here it is. So I brought in my anger, my shame, my bitterness, my pain. And, you know, as we were singing this morning, it talked about leaving our past and moving on to the future. I really felt like the Lord said to me, some of you are stuck. And God wants you to know that if you will trust him, you may have let go, you may have asked Jesus to forgive you, or maybe even forgiven others from what's happening in the past, but there's still part of you that has shaped you. It has made, it's like almost your identity. I am this person because of my past. But Jesus wants you to know that our past doesn't define us. It shapes us, but it doesn't define us. And so if we will choose to let go of that, just like Jesus said to me that day, if I'll let go of all of that stuff and give it to him, he is the incredible remaker. He is the incredible one that can come in and restore and rebuild and redeem. And I don't know how that will look like for you, but trust me, it will happen. So anyway, I just gave him all that stuff, and I had to resign as a missionary and was just moving forward. And once my kids got through high school, then God opened the door for me to get back into missions. And so I was serving then with an organization called One Hope, traveling all over, leading teams. It was really fun. And I couldn't have done that as a married person, so it was kind of fun being single and like, okay, Jesus, I'm going to embrace this singleness and just move forward and trust you with my life. And then God brought this guy into my life. And God had given me a dream that I was going to marry a widower, and I'm like, okay, whatever, didn't make sense, wrote it in a journal and just kind of left it there. But then when God started bringing us together, I'm like, are you telling me I'm going to marry Chuck? You know, it's like, and not that he's a bad guy, I just was like, wait a minute. And I kept telling the Lord, he's a pastor, I'm a missionary, how is this going to work? And that was my big question mark, how is this going to work? So Chuck said, what do you get when you cross a career pastor with a career missionary? Well, our answer was, you get mad. Okay? So really, that's what happened. We aren't angry, but God gave us a ministry called MAD, Missions, Awareness, and Development. And so we come alongside churches that are maybe struggling in their outreach, could be locally, could be with how they're getting missionaries out to the field. We will come alongside them and help them develop a plan to get them from where they currently are to where they'd like to be. And it's been fun to see some of the churches we're working with and just to see some of the process and to see some of the victories. And we truly believe that if we do not reach America, folks, we're going to be living in a very different America in 10 years from now. I mean, I think the church has said, we sat on our hands long enough, and Jesus is saying, rise up, church, rise up. And so that's kind of what we're going to be focusing on today. But I really felt like the Lord just wants to exhort some here today. Let go of the past. It does not define you. It shapes you. But as God is such a redeemer, he can use that to launch us into something new. If you would have asked me, I was talking to Bridget this morning before church, and I said, if you would have asked me 20 years ago if I would be doing what I'm doing today, married to another guy, I would have said, you are crazy. But it has been a great ride, and it's just been fun to see what Jesus is doing. So I just want to encourage you, whatever pain path you are on right now, some of you are in, I know we look good on Sunday, we can smile, but whatever's in your heart, Jesus is telling you this morning, it doesn't matter what pain crucible you happen to be in right now, there is hope for you. He is a redeemer, and if you will let go and just move forward in faith, God is going to do something crazy in your life, and crazy good. So we can trust him, amen? Amen. So.
Okay. I, by the way, I saw the clipboard going around for people to sign up, and you know, pray about that as the clipboard's going around. And if you don't feel like you can sign yourself up, well, sign up one of your friends. Just kidding. But hey, you never know. God is good. I read an interview either last night or this morning. Paula White, who's a pastor, one of the spiritual advisors to President Trump, in the interview, she said that had he not been elected and Hillary Clinton had been elected, she believes that the church in America would be underground in 5 years. Wow, we are facing some serious issues here in this country. I love this country, you know. I was born here. I was raised here. I was educated here. God called me in ministry here. God's given us an open door to minister here. And I love this country. And I can't imagine the thought of the church in this country being underground and being basically illegal, which is what would happen if things had continued to go the way they were going. We need to thank God for the window that's still open, and realize what it is he's calling us as believers in Christ to do. As we were praying about this service today, the Lord dropped a couple of passages of Scripture in my heart. They're both in John's Gospel. The first one's in chapter 4, where Jesus had been ministering to the woman at the well, and the disciples had gone to town to get food, and they got back, and Jesus told them that he had meat to eat that they didn't know about. And he proceeded to say, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to fulfill his work. He said, you have a saying that there are yet 4 months and then the harvest. But he said, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look out on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. The second passage is in John 9 and verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night's coming when no one can work. And I believe these two passages of Scripture are the call to the church today. We have a window of opportunity that's open in America today that is closing, and in some cases closing rather quickly. And we're seeing other things spring up that are causing persecution to begin against the church in America today. And you think, well, I never thought that would have ever happened. Well, I grew up in church from the cradle roll right on up in the Assemblies of God, and it's all I've known. Now, I've ministered in other churches along the way just through opportunities, but I'm an AG kid, born and bred, and I remember missionaries coming to our church, you know, when I was just a young guy. And I guess I'm dating myself, but they always brought their slide projectors with them. Yeah, and snake skins from Africa or something, I don't know. But, and you know, that always fascinated me. Most people, you know, most of the guys were making jokes about, oh no, it's another missionary, I'm skipping tonight, you know, or whatever, or they'd just go back to the back of the church and fall asleep on a pew. I never did sit in the back of the church, because when I was growing up in school, I knew that if I sat in the back of the classroom, I wasn't going to learn anything because I was a clown, okay? I did that a couple times in Bible college, and it got me, well, I won't go into that. But I always sat up front in church. And a couple reasons for that. One was because I knew if I was up in the front, I wouldn't goof off. But another was because I was always blessed to be in churches that had good worship teams. And I got to tell you, there's an anointing on a worship team that came prepared. And the closer I was to the front, the more I could feel that anointing coming off of that worship team. And that was just a cool feeling, okay? And you realize that God's doing something up there. So I was always a front of the church guy. I never got more than two or three rows back, growing up, because that was where the excitement was. And then when the altars were open and everybody's around the altars praying and seeking God, and all of a sudden you realize, wow, God's doing something here. So I like being in the front. So that's an encouragement to sit up front. And, I mentioned I was a career pastor, and it seemed like people came in and filled the back rows first, and the front was usually empty. But, I won't go there. Anyway, we have a challenge before us. And Jesus said, I've got to work the works of him that sent me while it's day, because the night's coming and nobody can work. We don't understand that too much in our society because, you go back 100 years and all the work was done during the day. And then all of a sudden we had electricity. And now factories run 24 hours a day because they got lights and all that stuff, all that. Farmers used to have to farm during the day because they couldn't see to farm at night. But how many of you have seen those farmers out in the fields when the crops are ready to bring in and they got the headlights on and they're going 24/7 to get that crop in? You see, we don't understand the concept of working while it is day because the night's coming when nobody can work. But it was more than just talking about daylight and darkness, at least in the natural sense. It was talking about the spiritual light of the gospel that we have and the fact that night is coming. Night is coming to America. We got to work while we've got the day. And it might be 24/7, but we can work while it is day, while we've still got that light of the gospel, we've still got the light going forth, where we can do something because the night is coming. But you know, that makes it even more exciting in a way. I rarely ever post on Facebook. Okay, I have a Facebook account. I check it every day, mainly to see who's got a birthday so I can send them a little happy birthday note or something. But this week, I tell you what, God has impressed on me. 4 days in a row, I was impressed to post something on Facebook just about the conditions in America today and what's happening. And one of those posts, I talked about how if we look around, we see in our world things that indicate we're in the last days. Wars, rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, on and on and on. Nation rising against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Jesus said these are the beginning of birth pains. But he also, when he talked about all that, he said, when you see all these things happening, look up, because redemption's drawing near. And the excitement that should fill the heart of believers knowing that Jesus is coming. But in the meantime, we got to work while it's day because night is coming.
And we're not here to scare people. The reality is we are here to get you excited. Mm-hmm. I think if you looked at the apostles, they would have traded any one of us to be in this spot where we're at right now. You see, if we read the Bible, we know, first of all, we win, right? As believers, that Jesus gave us the game plan. And he said he is coming back. And so we shouldn't be shocked by what we see in the news. We shouldn't become overwhelmed. And I'll admit, sometimes it can be overwhelming. But that's because we have to keep riveting our eyes, fixing our eyes on what is unseen. That Jesus Christ is coming back. That Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. There is no other way. Salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to man by where we must be saved. That's in Acts 4. So we have got to be ready. We have got to be prepared. And we have got to seize the day. There's an old song that says, seize the day, seize whatever you can. For life slips away just like hourglass sand. For those of you who are older, you probably remember that song. But we have got to seize the day. And if we as the church will rise up, I believe that we will see miracles happen like we have never seen before. We will see supernatural provision like we have never seen before. We will see miracles happen like we have never seen before. But if we remain silent, we will not have power, and these things will still come. So the question is, am I willing to stand up and become bold? That's something for the last couple years I've been saying, God, make me bolder. God, make me bolder. Jesus, make me bolder. Because I believe part of the reason our country is where it is because the church has become silent. We've become politically correct. We've believed that you can't talk about two things. What are they? Religion and politics. We've started believing that lie. How crazy is that? Jesus is the way to heaven. And if we cannot share that with people, if we cannot give the hope that is within us, then we of all people, as Paul said, are most miserable. But if we believe this gospel, if it is the power of God unto salvation, to those who are perishing, it is foolishness. But to those of us who believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. Last night, Libby and I had a rare moment. We spent the night with my daughter. I have one of my daughters that live in DePere. Or not in DePere. She used to live in DePere. She lives in Green Bay. And her husband had some guys over, so they were doing their guy thing. So her and I went out after we got the kids in bed and just had this incredible rare moment of just the two of us over coffee and, well, we had salad and soup. But anyway, it was fun. And we just really enjoyed chatting and talking about all kinds of things. But we had a waitress, and I told Libby, my goal is to pray with her before we leave. And I said, so we're going to start building the bridge. And we both were just targeted in that I want to pray with this gal. I don't know where she is spiritually. And I may not have the opportunity to share the four spiritual laws or the plan of salvation, but I can let her know who I am, where I am, and what Jesus can do in her life. And she was the sweetest little Asian gal. Bubbly, all kinds of energy, was a great waitress. And I just said to her, as she was coming toward the end of our table and we had built some relationship, some rapport, I just said to her, hey, can I pray for you? Is there anything I can pray with you about? And it took her off guard. She was not a believer. It was pretty clear. And she's like, well, just so I can have a better life. I said, well, I can pray for you for that. And so I just began to pray. And when we were done, she had tears, and she's just like trying to, compose herself. And the restaurant was quiet, so it was appropriate. She was willing to let us pray right there. And I just thought, God, and I prayed for her afterward, God, somehow let one little seed, I don't know what seed took root in her heart, but let that one little seed begin to produce a hunger. And I invited her to the church where my daughter goes, because I said, hey, if you don't have a church anywhere, you can find my daughter. She goes to this church, and you could sit with her, and they'd love to have you and your family come. And we just need to begin strategically looking for opportunities. I don't know about you, but life is just too crazy busy anymore. When I am focused, I'm going to go do this, I'm going to go do that, I got to come back, and I got to work on this, I got to do this. But if we do not leave margins in our life to begin looking for opportunities to share. Reagan, the soul of the United States is at stake. And we have got to realize that. We have got to wake up and realize that. Both Reagan and Kennedy said this. They said, if not us, who? If not now, when? But it was actually attributed to a Jewish rabbi 2,000 years ago. So I guess that question has resounded throughout history. If not us, who? If not now, when? If we do not take a stand, if we do not begin to raise our voice and declare Jesus Christ as Lord and live our lives. Romans 8:19 says, creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. I love Christmas time. I don't know about you guys, especially since my girls have gotten older and they can buy me real gifts, okay? I mean, I like the handprints. I like the suckers. Those were all precious. But now that they have real jobs, okay, and they really want to they want to get me something that I really like, I love Christmas. And now that I got a husband that gets me fun things, it's like, this is really fun. What's under that tree? I stand there and I just get excited and I'm like a kid. I can't wait. And especially with my girls when they were at home still, we would rattle the presents, we'd try and guess, but we would never tell each other what it was. And so there was always this anticipation of what's under that tree. That's how the world is looking for the sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. They don't know it, just like Randy said this morning. They don't know it. But if you look at your neighbors, if you look at your classmates, if you look at your coworkers, They are desperate for something true. Our world is saying that there's nothing true, that there's nothing that we can stake our lives on. It. Everything is relative. Oh, if you think that's good for you, but it's not good for me. Oh, it doesn't matter if someone goes and does this or that or pornography or any of that stuff. It's all good. But the reality is, right here, this is what tells us what is true. This is the eternal word. This is what we can stand on. This is what we can build our lives on and die for, if that's what Jesus asked for us. I don't know that he will. But the reality is, and I want to apologize to the younger generation. I want to say I'm sorry, because we, as the older generation, have allowed ourselves to become waffly in this. We have allowed ourselves to let things creep in. And so I want to apologize to you this morning, but I want to tell you that this is the only way to heaven. Jesus Christ is the only way. It is not through Hinduism. It is not through Buddhism. It is not through Muslim. It is not through good works. It is not through anything but the blood of Jesus Christ. And we as believers have got to let that germinate in us. If we don't believe it, begin reading his word. Show me, God. Is that really true what that woman said this morning? If you don't believe it, don't take my word for it. Read the Bible. What does the Bible tell us? And what do we need to begin to speak outside these four walls?
True.
Let's grab this. Is about to die. I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry.
Wired. Change this. This one won't die. Whoops. Cool. I pay attention to statistics, okay? Now, you can twist them to say anything you want, so you have to be careful, but I pay attention to statistics and trends. Yesterday, we were looking at some statistics that said, in a poll of Christians across America by George Barnes, and said that 57% of Christians believe that there's more than one way to get to heaven. That's scary. Now you realize this is a sampling of all denominations and that, and you say, well, not in the Assemblies of God. You know, we wouldn't say that, and hopefully we wouldn't. But it's scary to think that 57% of people that consider themselves Christians, and this was a survey of 35,000 believers, 57% said they don't believe that there's only one way to heaven. They believe there's multiple ways to heaven. Jesus said in the last days, many, in fact, he said most, will fall away. We have to watch out, because we're allowing, as a people, we're allowing societal issues to change our perspective on Scripture. God's word does not change. It does not change. It's scary. The percentage of people that are starting to believe these different things that are ungodly. And we realize our work is set out for us. The call of God does not change. And I'm not talking just about the call of God to full-time ministry. I'm talking about the call of God to the church, where he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into all the world and make disciples. That doesn't change. And it starts right at home, and it goes out from there. We were in a church in Pennsylvania a year and a half ago, and it was a Sunday night service. And we left some time at the end for people to ask questions. And we talked about what our ministry's doing. We talked about missions. And so a little lady, looked like she was about 85, stood about 5 foot nothing, you know, just a little, small little lady up in the front. She raised her hand and she said, you know, we do a real good job supporting foreign missionaries, but we don't know how to reach our own community. That's a reality that's beginning to become more and more prevalent across our country. And we looked, and they were supporting all these different missionaries, and they were sending out hundreds of dollars. It wasn't a big church, but they were doing their part. They were doing what God had blessed them. They were taking that. They were supporting missionaries around the world. But her concern was they weren't reaching their own community. So we stopped. And for the next 10 or 15 minutes, we had a brainstorming session with the people that were there. It wasn't a big crowd, maybe 25, 30 people, I don't know. But we had a brainstorming session, and we said, oh, just talk to them. We don't believe we have the answers, okay? Our ministry is basically to the church. We are missionaries to the church, because 21% of Assembly of God churches in the United States today give absolutely nothing to missions a year. And another 16% of our churches nationwide give less than $1,000 a year to missions. That's about $84 a month if you want to do the math. And when you think about that, the Assemblies of God was founded on missions. How in the world could 37% of our churches be doing little or nothing for missions? But I think maybe this lady had it capsulized there. They hadn't figured out a way to reach their own community. You start reaching your own community, that becomes contagious. And all of a sudden, you want to reach out, and you want to touch lives for Jesus, and you want to put your money where your mouth is, and all of that. And so we brainstormed. We don't believe we have the answers for the church. But we believe the answers are in the local church. And so it's our job to be a catalyst, to help them to find out what they have to work with. God said to Moses, what's that in your hand? Moses said, that's a staff. Don't you know that, God? You're pretty smart. It's a staff. Throw it on the ground. He did, and it became, oh, wow. It became this big old snake, you know? We say to the church, what's in your hand? What has God blessed you with? What do you have? What abilities do you have as a church? What resources do you have available to you? And once you figure out what you have in your hand, what are the needs in your community? And how can the resources that you have, people, money, things, whatever, how can those things be used to meet the needs in your community? And you begin to reach out. And as we shared, we brainstormed with this congregation in Pennsylvania. One guy said, hey, I've got a meeting with the head of the town council tomorrow. I'm going to talk to him. We're going to find out. And all it took was a 10 or 15 minute brainstorming session. And all of a sudden, now they're excited about reaching their community. We didn't have those answers. They were in the local church. And we truly believe with all of our heart that the answers to reach every community can be found in the local church. Some churches get caught up in comparing themselves to the big churches, you know? Now, I'm from Illinois. There's a big church in Naperville, Illinois. They give, I don't know, probably millions of dollars to missions. And it would be so easy when I was pastoring to say, well, I can't do that because my little church, you know, we've only got 40 or 50 members here and all that. And so I'm going to use that as my excuse to not do missions because I can't do what they're doing in Naperville, you know. But that's no excuse. Jesus still says, go into all the world, everywhere. You know, in Acts 1:8, when he said that you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that was to everybody, every believer. And that's exciting. We don't have to do what the big churches are doing, but he expects us to do what our church can do and to realize what's in our hands, to realize what resources are available to us. I think this booyah sale is a great thing, you know? I don't even know what that is. But if it gets a missionary to the field, I'm all for it, you know? That's what our ministry is all about. We're missionaries to the church because if we can speak to those 37% of our churches doing little or nothing for missions and we get them to begin to do their part, more missionaries are going to get to the field. It used to take a missionary less than 12 months to do all their itineration and get to their field. Now it takes 18 to 24 months and some of them never make it because they can't raise their support. And there are factors involved there. A lot of churches no longer have midweek service. A lot of them no longer have Sunday night services. So the missionaries only have a limited amount of services they have to work with and things like that. That's part of it. But part of it is that we've lost our fervor, our zeal for missions. And I'm so excited that this church hasn't done that. that you guys, I always look at the missions board when I come into a church, and it's so nice to see our faces up there. And we thank you for that. But it's good to see, and I always look to see how many of the missionaries on the board are people that we know, you know, that excites me even more. And to know that, hey, that's a good picture. I know them. But it excites me to know that churches are getting on fire and they're doing their part to fulfill the Great Commission. And they're not using size as a determination of what we can't do, but they're using the inventory of what do we have to work with to do what we can do. And that excites me. And if we get every church on board with that, and I know that's a tall order because there's a lot of churches in the Assemblies of God nationwide. But if we can get those churches to get on fire for missions and to start doing their part, we'll be able to send literally thousands more missionaries out. And with every missionary we send, we also send the gospel message. And all of a sudden, we've got people reaching communities and countries more than ever before. And that's going to usher in the coming of the Lord, because the gospel will be preached throughout the world. And then the end shall be. We have missionaries going into countries that they could never get to before, and they're not even stepping foot on the soil. They're using media. They're using the internet. They're using Facebook. They're using whatever they can use, television and radio, whatever, to get into those countries. We heard a report at General Council in California last month, or this month, I guess it was, that they've invented a new technology. A couple guys in Texas developed a technology where they can send electricity over the airwaves to places that don't have it. I don't know how that works, but I'm in favor of it if it gets the gospel message to those places. Because we're living in the last days. The time is short, and what we do, we've got to do now. Jesus said, I'm working while it's day because the night's coming and nobody can work. And we need to realize the time is running short.
You know, the businessmen that shared that at General Council decided that they would send the prophets to send out missionaries.
Yes.
And I believe if we will be people that will say, God, what is in my hand is yours, not trying to build a bigger house, a nicer family, have all the toys, nicer vacations, there's nothing wrong with any of that. But if I can say, God, what I have is yours, and it's yours to what? To get this gospel into every nation. This gospel shall be preached as a testimony to all nations, and then the end shall come. And if we will be people that say, God, every resource I have is in your hands, God is going to funnel money through you. If he can get it through you, he will get it to you. I believe that with everything in me. If we will allow him to funnel it through us, he will bring it to us. Because he's looking for people that say, you got my money, you got my talent, you got my time, you got my energy, you got everything. We were supposed to tell you about our family. I'm going to do that real quick. So if they want to put a picture of our blended family together, we have, Chuck has two sons and two grandkids from that side that we engrafted in. And I have two daughters and two son-in-laws. And in that picture, we have one granddaughter who is napping, and both girls were pregnant. So now we have, and one just had another baby, so now we have four grandkids, so a total of six, and we have one more on the way. So we are a growing family and excited, and it's just fun to see what God has done in his redemption. I want to close with this one analogy. It's actually a true story, if I can find my notes here, because I couldn't remember this all. This is about the country of Mongolia, and we talked about we need to work while it is day. The country of Mongolia. The Mongol Empire was led by Genghis Khan, Kublai Khan. It once stretched from the Black Sea to the Pacific Ocean. That is a lot of territory, folks. The Mongol Empire was the biggest land empire ever in history. The Mongolian Empire extended from the Yellow Sea in Eastern Asia to the borders of Eastern Europe. Eventually, the Mongols became known as the Tartars, and they were the most savage conquerors that ever existed. In the year 1266, Kublai Khan, who was the leader at the time, he asked Marco Polo. We've all played that game. Marco Polo, yeah. Well, there really was a person, Marco Polo. And he sent him back to Rome to the Catholic Church and said, would you send us 100 missionaries? Two actually answered that call. But they never made it to Mongolia because of the harsh weather. And they turned around and went back. It was 30 years later that a couple missionaries actually made it there, but by then it was too late. The door had closed, political powers had changed, China was now in control, and it had again become a predominantly Buddhist country. And I think what doors open, what doors close, it wasn't until 700 years later when with the fall of communism that Mongolia opened up again. We now have missionaries there, Paul and Sharon Ellis. They are friends of mine, and I was just talking to them at General Council. We had the chance of just touching base, and they said they only had come for a month for their daughter to get married, graduate, and then they were heading back. But she said their visas were now in question again. And they said, you know, it's up to God how long we'll work there, but as long as those doors are open, we will remain. And God has given them an incredible ear with some really influential people and working with pig farmers. So it's like both dichotomies, right? You got the pig farmers, and then you've got they're working in the international school as well. She is. And it's like they got this crazy influence. But they don't know how long those doors will be open. It could be next month. God could give them 5 more years. We don't know. But the reality is we have got to understand that doors open and close. And will we walk through the open doors? I ask myself how different it might have been if those 100 missionaries would have made it there. Do you realize that it included countries such as these? China, Korea, Mongolia, now Iran, Turkestan, Armenia, Burma, parts of Vietnam, parts of Thailand, and Russia were included in this vast empire. If those 100 missionaries had gotten there, boy, how differently our world might look. So my question to you is, what are we doing to make the gospel known? What am I doing in my sphere of influence with my neighbors, with my family, with my coworkers, with my, you know, classmates, whatever it is? What am I personally doing to be that light? And then what am I doing to send that light around the world? The day is coming when no man can work. And Jesus is asking us, will it be us? There's a quote that I wrote in here too from former President Obama in 2006. This is very indicative of what our nation is. Whatever we once were, we are no longer a Christian nation. At least not just. We are also a Jewish nation, a Muslim nation, and a Buddhist nation, a Hindu nation, and a nation of non-believers. Something has changed. If not us, who? If not now, when? Can you bow your heads, please? Holy Spirit, I'm just going to ask you to speak to hearts as only you can. And Lord, I know you're so incredible that you're speaking to people on different levels and in different ways. So we're just going to give the Holy Spirit a moment just to work in our hearts. The first thing I ask, is there someone here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? You may have stumbled in here this morning because a friend invited you or whatever, but you're saying, gosh, this is really different. And something's tugging at my heart. If that's you, if you've never asked Jesus into your heart as Lord and Savior and you want to this morning, can you raise your hand? Is there anyone here that would say, that's me? I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but today I would like to. Is there anyone? Okay. The second call I'm going to ask for is for someone who's been hanging on to the past and you're saying, today I'm cutting it off and I am determined that today, August 27th, I am cutting that off and I am moving forward. I am no longer letting the past define me. If that's you, I want you to stand to your feet. If we can't stand before other Christians, we are never going to stand before non-believers and declare him. Yes, anyone else? Anyone else? If you just say, I am cutting off the past, I'm moving forward. I am determined to make something new by the grace of God. And I'm cutting it off. It will no longer define me. Yes. Anyone else? Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm going to wait just another minute. Anyone else? Okay. Then lastly, I'm going to ask if you have not been the witness you know that Jesus wants you to be. And I will be right there in the front row with you. I am going to say from this point forward, I am going to become bolder. And I'm going to make Jesus more known in my sphere of influence. I want you to stand also.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Let's just pray for a moment. And just whatever it is in your heart that God is doing, the Holy Spirit is doing, I want you just to verbally acknowledge that and seal it right here. Make an altar exactly right where you are, because more are standing than not, so we're just going to do right where you're at. Just say, right now, God, I am putting this before you. I want to hear people praying. Go ahead, let's just verbally just tell him what's in our heart right now. Let's not be afraid. Let's go for after God with everything we've got. Father, I just ask right now, Lord, that you would move in every heart. Lord, I am asking you that things would be cut off that have been hindering people. I am asking you that strongholds would be broken. God, I am asking you that doubt would be removed, that the blinders and the shackles would be taken off. Lord, I am asking you for supernatural shift in this congregation. Lord, I am asking you right now that you would begin to do things that has only been in the heart and the heart and the vision of the people. God, I'm asking you to fulfill that. Lord, I pray right now, God, that you would help each one to become bolder, each one, Lord, of us to become more vocal about who you are, that we would not be ashamed, that we would not be afraid. Father, I just pray right now that a spirit of boldness would come over this congregation. And Lord, it doesn't mean we have to be screaming or hate people, but God, we have to show your love in the way that you have created us to show it. Lord, I pray a boldness, Lord, just a boldness over this congregation. And Lord, I pray a cutting off of things that have hindered those, a cutting off of that what is behind and pressing toward what is ahead, Lord. We look forward to the prize that calls us heavenward. Lord, I pray that for this congregation. In the mighty name of Jesus, we just lift that up to you, Lord.
Hallelujah. And Lord, we ask for boldness. A measure of boldness that we've never known before. That we go into our places of occupation, our jobs, and the people that we work with will see Jesus in our lives. That we go into our schools unafraid, emboldened by the Holy Spirit to minister to our fellow students, to show them Jesus in our lives. God, we're asking that you put a hunger in their hearts to ask us about what it is that makes us be the way we are. Because your word tells us that we will be called into account for what we believe. So Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you would give us those words to say and the opportunities to say it. And that fear will fall to the wayside. Because your word says that perfect love casts out all fear. Your word says that you did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so I'm praying for that, God. Put it all together and wrap it up in a bow of boldness. I just pray, God, that you would move by your Spirit. Lord, as this church endeavors to reach this community for Jesus, oh God, give boldness to minister to the people next door, down the block, across the street. To minister to the people that we meet in the marketplace. And to not be afraid, knowing, God, that if you are for us, who can be against us? That we would take the power of the Holy Spirit and we would truly be your witnesses as you've called us to be. Let all fear fall away and be replaced by a spirit of boldness, and temper that with a spirit of love and compassion for the lost people around us, that they would know that we are Christians by our love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We pray blessing upon this church. And we thank you, Lord, for their commitment to missions. We thank you for their commitment to our ministry. We thank you, Lord, for the commitment to reaching this community for Jesus Christ. So we pray blessings upon them, that every need would be supplied in this process, Lord. Every financial need. We pray for this couple that's going out into missions, that God, every penny that they need to get to their mission field will be supplied supernaturally in the name of Jesus.
We ask, Lord, that you'd help us, each one, Lord, to do our part. You don't ask us to do more than we can do, but you do ask us to do our part. So help us, Lord, to all be faithful to do our part for you. Thank you, Lord. I give you praise for that. And I'm asking, Lord, that you would help each individual in the church to do a self-examination and ask them, God, what's in your hand? What do you have to offer? And help us, Lord, to be honest. And then to offer that up to you as a sacrifice of praise in Jesus' name.
I forgot as we pass this over to Randy, back to Randy. We have sign-up sheet if you want to keep updates, quarterly updates of what we're doing, or prayer cards back there. We would love for you to stop at the table. Or if anyone would like prayer, we would love the opportunity to pray with any of you individually. Thank you.
If everyone could take their seats, please. Hey, Chuck, could you stay up here? Friends, you know, what they shared with you and what we're talking about is life or death. That's it. It's life or death. We have the message that the world is looking for. I just have felt so led as I was sitting there. And Jason, would you start? I want to make sure that if the ushers can come forward. And I want to make sure that just quickly everyone gets one of these. And if you already have one, it's an invitation card. If everybody has one, you can pass the stack. But please, I'd like right now, because what I want to do is, Chuck mentioned twice, he said, where God said to Moses, what do you have in your hand? And Moses said, I got a stick. God said, okay, throw that stick down. Well, I'm going to have, these ushers are going to place something in your hand. And we are going to, God's saying right now, what do you have in your hand? And we're going to say, this is all I have. But God's saying, that's all you need. It's ironic, too. The pastor's going to be going through a series coming up called E-Plan. Is that E-word? There you go. Well, fear is a real thing. How many know that fear is a real thing? But yet God says, I know it's real, but do it afraid. That's what God's calling us to do. Friends, life or death, God says, do it afraid. Do it. Do it. Okay, does everybody have one of these? Okay. What I want you to do is, I want you to just hold this up, and I'm going to have Chuck pray over this stick, this thing that we have in our hands, and I'm going to ask him to pray that God's going to open up a supernatural door, and he's going to ask that God place somebody in your path this week, and you're going to give this to somebody. And we're going to pray an anointing over this, that person will be touched and moved. You know, I'm reminded, too, of, I think it was Oral Roberts. I think that was him. He said, I'd rather pray for 1,000 people and have only one get healed than not to pray for anybody. Right? This one card, we're going to pray over these, and there might be one person that's going to come to this church and come to faith in Jesus Christ because of what we're doing right now. Is it worth it? It's life or death. So Chuck, would you lead us? And everybody, I want you to hold up these cards, and this gentleman is going to pray over this, and he's going to pray over opportunities for you this week.
Father, I thank you. I thank you because I know that you have a plan. This isn't done in a slipshod manner. This isn't done in an unorganized manner. But Lord, you have led the leadership of this church in this plan. And Lord, each one that has this little square piece of paper, Lord, it's not big. It's not something that you have to carry out in a wheelbarrow. It'll fit in the palm of your hand or in a shirt pocket or in a purse. But Lord, you have ordained this time for this church.
And you have ordained every person in this church for this moment in time. Because our moments are all in your hands. So I'm praying for every single person in this church today. Everyone that's holding that in their hand today. I'm praying for opportunities. I'm praying that even today, when they leave here, some are going to go to a restaurant. I pray that you'll lay a waiter or waitress upon their heart and they'll hand that to them. Or they're going to go to a business and you're going to lay a cashier on their heart and they'll give this to them. Or students are going to go to school tomorrow or whenever the next school day is. And you're going to lay another student on their heart and they're just going to say, here, I want to give you this. You're going to lay an employee or an employer or a coworker on someone's heart. They're going to give it to them. I pray that there will be absolutely none left. In fact, I'm praying, Father, that you're going to so move on your people that they're going to hand out the one that they've got in their hand and they're going to come back and say, can I have another one? Can I have about a dozen of those? I got a lot of people I'd like to give these to. And I believe that you're gonna speak to people about going door to door in their neighborhood just to hand them one of these. You're God. You are almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing God. And there is absolutely nothing you cannot do. And so we trust you. And we ask you, Lord, I know it's not easy for people to do this. For some people, it's a simple thing. You've already got a natural boldness, a natural ability, and it's handing one of these out is a simple thing for you. But for others here, wow, this is a big thing. This is a big thing. You're going to have to step outside your box and get out, you know, outside your comfort zone, and you're going to have to take a step of faith. It may be the first time you've ever done anything like this in your life. And God wants to tell you today, might be the first, but it's not going to be the last. And I'm believing that God's going to build faith in this process. So, Father, I'm asking you to do that in your people. Build faith. Build faith. And every time they hand one of these out, build faith. And then, Lord, I'm praying for the results. We aren't in charge of results. We're in charge of faithfulness, and you're in charge of results. But I'm praying for results, God. I'm praying that there will be people that come to this church because someone handed them this little piece of paper. And they're going to hear the gospel message, and it's going to speak to their heart. And they're going to come to Christ. And Lord, who's to say if the next great missionary isn't going to come because somebody gave him a little square piece of paper? Who's to say that you're not going to raise up the next general superintendent of the Assemblies of God because someone gave them a little square piece of paper? I'm asking you, God, to do the miraculous. Anybody can do the ordinary, but it takes God to do the miraculous. And so we're placing it in your hand, in your care, and we're trusting you, Lord, that great and powerful and mighty things are going to happen in this church because of these little square pieces of paper and people who are obedient to passing them out. And I thank you for that, God. I thank you for the harvest of souls that you're going to bring in because of this simple act of obedience. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Chuck. Can you hold on for just a minute yet? All right, we're going to trust God and we're going to have testimonies come forward. I want to pray over Chuck and Wilma. You know, God has given them a love for our nation. I love America. I love America. And I don't want to see our church go underground. So we're going to pray for them. But ushers, can you come forward and pass the offering buckets? And if you could help to support this mission that is going through our country. They're U.S. missionaries. God's called them. You know what? You can just go ahead and just work your way through with the buckets here. They have a passion that God has given for this country. And we want to support them again financially, prayerfully, and send them off well. You know, it is such an honor to have our missionaries here that are under our umbrella. And so what I'd like you to do is to finally, and then we'll close, to stretch a hand toward this couple, and we're going to pray over them briefly, okay? Gracious Heavenly Father, the one right now that's in charge, Father, you're in charge of Hurricane Harvey. You were in charge of that solar eclipse. You're in charge of every star, of our moon, of the sun. It's all spinning, it's turning. Everything is orderly, God, because you are sovereign. Lord, your word says that you cause all things to work together for those who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. And Father, as we've heard early testimonies about how you have redeemed the time of this couple, of Chuck losing a wife to a heart attack right in his own arms, and of what Wilma has gone through, Father, right now, as we sang this morning, going forward, you've used this couple. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to use them. But Father, in the name of Jesus, we're going to pray. We're praying right now a new Freedom Church anointing over this couple. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that leaving this building, that they would not be the same. They would never be the same. Lord, we pray, and Lord, we all deal with fear, every one of us, but God, I pray that you would offer them right now an extra level of boldness that they've never had before. Father, we pray that, Lord, that you would give them your heart to weep, a greater weeping, God, over this nation and over the lost. God, deposit that into their hearts. Father, would you protect them, as we know that there are people in this country that want to squish and squash and remove Christianity from the entire nation. So would you protect this couple, Father, from the hand of the enemy and from those that would wish to do evil. But Father, that you would use their little to do great much. God, pour out wisdom upon them. And that anointing that we ask right now that they've never had before, I don't even know what it is. You do. But we pray it upon them, Father, and upon their family. Their family. So, Father, we thank you for what only you can do. And we ask this all and we praise you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you so much. Please stop. You know what? Don't be quick to run off. Fellowship with one another. We got a great group here today. Stop back at the booth back here and talk to Wilma and Chuck and get your name on their emailing list if you don't. And for sure, go over to the corner of Cardinal and Glendale and buy a kettle or a bucket of booyah, okay? I'll tell you, that booyah is so good, and it helps to support what? Missions, right. God bless you. Thank you all for coming.